Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the cover story when we come back. You know, over the past century, we Americans who were once independent, capable, and able to manage our own financial, medical, and legal affairs have now been reduced to dependence, incompetence, incapacity. And we've been made wards of these powerful commercial, financial, medical, and legal corporations, cartels, and bureaucratic institutions of our modern industrial society. And we've been taught to rely upon these paid professionals like bankers to manage our financial affairs and doctors to manage and treat our health problems and lawyers to direct our business and legal affairs instead of relying upon our own good common sense. That's why I contend that it's time that we Americans, who were once able to catch our own fish, learn once again how to fish instead of being fed by these paid professionals. Regaining our power of attorney is the single most important step in regaining our capacity, our rights, our liberties, and our duties. Now, if you'd like to learn more about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you write for our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. May not be for you, but if it is, maybe it'll do something for you in the future. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Our website is georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download her live and direct, stream it, or print it. And if you don't have a computer and you're listening on radio, then you can call us at 417-273-4967. We'll send you one. All right, we've been talking about the cover story, and the cover story, remember, is a lie. It's hypocrisy. And we've been told these cover stories. For instance, I started off, and I said, the cover story for Iraq, remember? It was Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. That was the cover story to go to war. The purpose for going to war was to take their oil. You see, the Iraqis are sitting on 25% of the world's oil reserves. So, you know, 20 Saudis come over here and knock our buildings down, so we go to war against Iraq so that we can steal their oil. I mean, that's the purpose for the exercise. Nothing personal. I mean, we stole their oil fair and square. There's a certain cost involved. You know, you got to pay $1 trillion in war in order to get the oil. But, you know, 25 billion barrels of oil, let's start thinking about how much that's worth. You know, you say crime doesn't pay. I don't think that you can add and subtract. 25 billion barrels. And that's what they know about. There's probably two or three times that there, or maybe more. But 25 billion barrels. Now, a barrel of oil today is worth about $80, you know. So you take 80 times 25, and then that's 2,000 billion. That's 2 trillion. Hell, we doubled our money on just stealing the 25 billion barrels that we know about. If there's 50 billion barrels over there, we've quadrupled our money. And we did it all in the name of ExxonMobil and GP, and isn't that what it is? British, no, BP, British Petroleum. God love the oil companies, huh? Well, anyway, that's the cover story. Now, you and I have to pay for that war. We are not going to reap 5 cents worth of the illicit gains that we make. That belongs to the oil magnates and the bankers and the government agents that have done it. We get to pay for it, and they get the profits. But the cover story, remember, is we got to make Iraq safe for democracy. I don't know why. We're not making North Korea safe for democracy or Cuba. I mean, there's a lot of places closer to home that need to be made safe for democracy, don't you think? Now, the reason that we're not nearly as interested in making Cuba safe for democracy is because they don't have 25 billion barrels of oil. Now, you Cubans down here, if you want to be liberated and freed from the Castros, you just produce 25 billion barrels, and I'll guarantee you, we'll be down there to free you. And we're all for democracy, as long as you got enough oil to make it worthwhile. Otherwise, you'll have to live under the communist tyranny that you got. All right, so that's what these cover stories are all about. And so the last time, last program, we were talking about Social Security being unsustainable. And I pointed out to you that in 1940, there were 80 people paying into it, and for everybody drawn out of it, and today it's 2-to-1, and it's going to be 1-to-1 in about 20 years. And then it's going to be one guy paying in and two guys drawn out. At some point in time, you won't have enough physical energy in your body to support all those people that are drawn out. And that's just where reality's at. And I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting on it. So when I discovered that in 1965, I said, I got to get out of here. Now, I didn't get out until 1984. I was just like you. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to rescind my Social Security and get out of this income tax. It took me a few years. I kept paying into it. The total I paid in was $12,000. Now, I'm 70 years old, and I ain't drawn any Social Security benefits. And if I was eligible, I'd be getting $800 a month right now, maybe more with cost of living adjustments, although they didn't give us any cost of living adjustments in the last couple of years. Did you notice that? Here comes that cover story again. They got you boxed in with the CPI. So they're telling you that inflation is less than 1% a year. It's actually 7%. Take a look at the price of gasoline and food. Your costs are going up 7%, but the value of your house went down. The value of your stocks and bonds went down. And so because of that, we averaged it out, and inflation's down to 1% or less, so you don't get any cost of living increase. Isn't that special? God love government, I'm telling you. Hey, but we wouldn't have it any other way. And when we had this choice to make, it was about, I'm going to say it was about 1100 B.C. The last judge in Israel was in office at the time. His name was Samuel. And our princes went to Samuel, and they said, hey, we've had it with this crap. We're tired of God. What we want is a king like all the nations around us. And so Samuel went to God, and he gave him a report, and he said, hey, the people want a king. And God said, well, you go tell them that that's a dumb mistake. That's a dumb, dumb position to take. Yeah, go warn them. Go tell them. And so he did. And you know what the people said? They said, we will have a king. Nevertheless, they said, we will have a king. So God said, okay. I'm easy to get along with. Now, you can go ahead and have this king, and then you're going to cry out to me in that day because of your king. Here's what he's going to do to you. And so it spells out, here's what the king is going to do to you with your military-industrial complex and with your economy, and I won't hear you. So when I have a student come in here and they say, Mr. Gordon, should we pray to Jesus about this global financial crisis? I tell them, no, don't waste your time praying to Jesus. He already said I ain't listening to this crap. He already told you. I've had it with you. So there's a more pragmatic answer to this. It's get off your dead ass and let's go to work. Now, we got a job to do. Our job was to practice this law. We have a contract. Contract. We got the written contract. It's in Exodus 19, verse 16 through Exodus 24, 8. And he said, now perform on my contract, and I'll give you all these neat benefits that we see in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, first 14 verses or so. And he says, then if you don't perform on my contract, I'm going to stick it to you. And that's what's happening. We're getting it stuck to us. So when we get this stuck to us, you know, we got to have a cover story. Cover story. You got to have an excuse as to, well, here's what's happening and here's why. And the guys that are giving us the cover story primarily is our government. And Social Security, they keep telling us, is good. You want to stick with Social Security. Nobody's going to mess with Social Security on my watch. I don't vote, but if I did, I'd vote that sucker right out of office. He can't count. Anybody that wants to maintain Social Security can't count. Now, it's true that the people that are on it right now, if you just abolished it, they're going to take it in the shorts. And that's about 40 million people. Okay, so if you keep it going, it'll get better. When it collapses, there'll be 60 million people that'll take it in the shorts. I don't see why 40 million people should take it in the shorts when we can stretch this out and make 60 million people suffer. We can increase it by a third. And if we're lucky, maybe we can double it. We can get 80 million people tied into Social Security, and then when it collapses, they can starve to death. No sense taking action any sooner than absolutely necessary, and we don't need to take action until it collapses. But I'm not voting, I'm not running the government. So when I saw this years ago, I said, you know, this thing's like the Titanic. I need to get the hell off of here. So in 84, I got off. Now, the numbers worked out for me this way. I paid in $12,000 into Social Security up through 1983 or 4. I opted out. Had I stayed in, I would have put in another $140,000. I didn't stay in. I got out, and I took my $140,000. I used to burn it up in airplane gas. I highly recommend that. Before I would put my money into Social Security, I'd burn it up in airplane gas. You'll have a hell of a lot more fun. And you know, you can live hard, die young, and leave beautiful memories. But I invested my $140,000 in something else, and I'm very, very happy with my investments. And I'm happy to report to you I'm not on Social Security, which is great for all you guys. Leaves more for you. You don't have to share it with me. Isn't that special? And I thought, you know, if a few more people like me came along and you didn't have to share as much, it'd last longer. Now, let me tell you why the Social Security ain't going to last. And that's because it's insolvent. It went insolvent earlier this year, about July or so. It's been insolvent twice in the past. It's insolvent again. Needs to be shored up. See, right now, they don't need to worry about taxes. They're just borrowing the money. Well, that comes to an end at some point in time. They're just creating money out of thin air. And so far, the Chinese and Japanese and South Koreans and everybody else are supporting us. They're sending us the shoes and big screen TVs and gasoline and oil and all the stuff we need. But I suspect that when those guys don't get paid real stuff for their real stuff, they're going to quit doing that. And, boy, that's going to create a lot of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. there's going to be a 75% cut in our standard of living. Just figure all the stuff that you're buying today, cut that by 75%, and that's your prorated share. And then there's a lot of other people out there that are probably going to be a little higher on the pecking order than you are. So you ain't going to get your 25% share. If you get 5, 10%, you're going to be in tall cotton, son. So I took a look at that, and I said, no, I didn't like that program, so get your pen and paper out here, and let me show you a little story. I'm going to teach you a lesson here. There was a little boy, and his daddy told him, he said, no, I want you to go down to the farrier. A farrier, that's a horseshoer, the blacksmith. That's the guy that puts shoes on your horses. Farrier. Not a fairy, a farrier. And have this old nag shoot, and he gave the boy $12, which was the price in those days. So the little boy goes down with the horse, and the farrier says, well, young fella, I've got a special on today. Special. I'm going to give you the horseshoes free. So he hands the boy the horseshoes. He said, those are your horseshoes now. Hey, but these nails are mine, and if you want me to put them horseshoes on the horse, then I'm going to give you my special. Here's what it is. And you just pay me one penny out of your $12 to put the first nail in. And then you pay me two pennies to put in the second nail. And we'll just double it to 4 pennies and 8 pennies, and we'll just keep doubling it 32 times. And you can keep the change and go buy ice cream as you ride that horse home. And the little boy thought, well, that's a hell of a deal. It's almost like Bank of America, you know, offering mortgages. And you people can go out and shop for mortgages among the big lenders, you know, like Bank of America and J.P. Morgan and Citicorp and so on. I heard that term. We're out shopping for a mortgage. Shopping for a mortgage? That's like saying, I'm shopping for a master. I'm shopping for a slave owner. Oh? Yeah, we do that. We go join the Army, the Navy, the Marines. We're looking for a master. Many times people need someone to tell them when to get up in the morning. They need somebody to tell them when to go to bed at night. And they need somebody to tell them what to do in between. And the best place to get that kind of service is the Army. My dad told me that. And when my dad told me that, I asked him, I said, Dad, how did you like it in the Army? It's the best experience I ever had. I said, Dad, would you join the Army again? He says, no way. I said, it was the best experience you ever had, but you wouldn't join again? He said, no, I wouldn't. He said, I got to tell you, I learned a lot while I was in there, but I don't need to learn that twice. So I took the hint, and I stayed as far away from the military as I could get. And my old dad tried it. He told me that he didn't like it. I figured, well, if my old daddy didn't like it, I probably wouldn't like it any better. I've been talking to people for years since then. I'm convinced I made the right decision. Anyway, getting back here to the horseshoe. Now, you got your pencil and paper out there? You ready to copy this down? Let's just take it. You go 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It cost you $1.28 to put in the eighth nail. Now add up 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and 128. And isn't that $2.55? So the first horseshoe goes on for $2.55. Well, that ain't too shabby. And we still got $9.50, don't we? To put on the other three shoes. And we're just going to double this each time. Okay? Now, the very next nail costs $2.56, then $5.12, then it costs $10.24, then it costs $20.48, then it costs $40.96. Now we're getting into higher math, and I got to take my shoes off now. 40.96 times 2 is 81.92. And then we got there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My God, that's only 5. Then we go with 81.92 times 2, and that takes us to 163.84 times 2, and that gives us 327.68 times 2, and gives us $655.36. Now, how much have we spent? 635.36 times 2, we've now spent $1,310.72, but that ain't too shabby because we got two horseshoes on now. What's it cost to shoe a horse? $12. Hey, this doubling thing here, that's something, ain't it? This is called geometric progression. Geometric progression. This is why God told you not to practice usury and interest. And that's because the principal is going to double every so many times. Remember that rule of 72? You just take your interest rate and divide it into 72, and that'll tell you how many years it takes to double your principal. That's why Social Security is unsustainable. See, you started out in 1980, just one guy drawn out of it. And then 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and pretty soon you got 40 million. You got 40 million people drawn out of it, and you can't pour money into that thing fast enough. Pretty soon you'll have 80 million and 160 million people drawn out of it at the very same time that you got fewer people putting into it. It's just as unsustainable as this example I'm giving you here by doubling 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. Now, let me give you a little exercise here. Let's suppose that you're looking for a new career. Young fellow that you are, going to college, 22 years old, just graduated. You got a degree after your name. And you come up to me and you say, Mr. Gordon, would you give me a job? And I say, yeah, I think I would. I'll tell you what I want to do, though, son. I want to hire you for life. I'm going to hire you for 32 years. And we're going to have a hell of a neat program here. You're 22 now. I'm going to hire you for 32 years. And you'll be 54 years old when you finish your employment with me. And I'm going to start you out at $25 an hour. And I'm going to work you 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 250 days a year for 32 years. How much money is that? $25 an hour times 8 hours a day is 200 bucks a day times 5 days in a week. That's 1,000 bucks a week times 52 weeks in a year. That's $52,000 a year times 32 years. In your working career, son, I'm going to pay you $1,664,000 starting today. Or I got another plan. It's called Plan B. I'm going to hire you for 32 years, and the first year I'm going to pay you one penny. You're going to work the same 52 weeks, 5 hours a day, or 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, but instead of getting paid $25 an hour, you're going to get paid one penny for the entire year. The next year, I'll double your salary to two pennies per year. And then the next year, I'll give you four pennies for a year's work. And if you keep it up, and you work hard, in your fourth year, I'll give you eight pennies for 52 weeks of service. And we'll just keep doubling the money until 32 years is up, and then I'll pay you. Which of these two programs would you rather participate in? Well, I think most people would look at that and say, I think I'll take the $25 an hour. I don't think I want to work a year for a penny, or a year for two pennies, or a year for four pennies, or a year for eight pennies. I'm not here to work for pennies. I want $25 an hour. But if you carried that 1, 2, 4, 8 through to 32 years, it would equal $40 million. So you can make $40 million in your working career by geometric progression, or you can make $1.5 million by arithmetic progression. See where we're going with this? Now, in the early days of Social Security, it sounded real good. But now, this thing's been around for 75 years, and now all of a sudden, it's doubling at such a rate that it's now insolvent. Just like the little boy with the horseshoes. Before the second shoe was put on, it was insolvent. We went past this $12 budget on the 10th nail. It starts out small, but boy, when it starts to move down the hill like a snowball, it picks up a lot of snow in a hurry. Then you end up with an avalanche. Now, that's the way that game is played. But our politicians have this cover story that Social Security is so wonderful, why would we want to tamper with it? Now, you know, I'm not the richest guy in the world, but I wouldn't trade what I'm doing for 800 bucks a month. And 800 ain't chicken feed, you know. I mean, you can have a pretty good time on 800 bucks, but the moral to the story is 800 bucks is chicken feed compared to the amount of money you pay into it. Let me give you a little illustration of this. Let's suppose that you're at the top of the heap. Get your pen and paper out here, boys and girls. Let's learn a little story about this cover story here. They tell you, look, you work for Social Security. This is a safety net. This is to protect you from losing everything. This is to protect you in your old age so that when you get old and you can't work anymore, that you don't starve to death. You're not out on the street. And so, well, that sounds pretty good. So you go ahead and you pay into Social Security. Now, let's suppose that you're a pretty talented fellow and you're making 100 grand a year. You know, you're a real estate broker or lawyer or dentist or something like that. Well, if you're making 100 grand a year, you're paying in the maximum that you can pay in. It's $11,600 a year. Now, if you were to pay in $11,600, just round it off to 12 grand, $12,000 a year times, and you know, you got out of college when you were 22, 32, 42, 52, 62, and then you can retire. You get a little cut in your pay, but you know, let's go 40 years. That's 12,000 times 40 years. $480,000. So you're going to pay $480,000 into this program. That's a sizable chunk. Now, you're going to draw out of it. Now, you're going to draw out of it for approximately 10 years, because from 62 to 72, that's 10 years. You're going to die at 75.6 statistically. So you're going to get 13 years out. Well, how much can you draw out? Well, you can draw out $1,200 a month. $1,200 a month times 12 is $14,400 a year. So you can get $14,400 a year times 13.5 years, which is $194,400, rounded off to 200. You're going to pay in 480 and you're going to get two back. Is that good economics? If you think that is, you stick with the program, son. You've got a winner there. Now, let me come along on the scene and say, look, why don't you give that money to me? And instead of me giving you back $200,000, I will give you back $400,000, twice as much. I'll only charge you $80,000 for the service. I'm going to collect your money. I'm going to use it for 40 years, and then I'm going to give it back to you. But I'm going to keep $80,000 of it. Yeah, you know, about 15% of it. No insurance company could do that. Insurance companies have to pay you at least as much as you paid in. Only the government can pay you back less than you paid in. And they're going to pay you back how much? Well, let's try this. You paid in $480, and you're going to get back $200. So $200 divided by $480 is 41%. So you're going to get 40%, and they're going to keep $60. Are you so incompetent that you need to pay into a program that's going to take 60% of everything you pay in to administer it? They're going to write you about 13.5 times 12. They're going to write you 162 checks. And they're going to charge you $280,000. Let's see, $280,000 divided by 162 checks. They're going to charge you $172.83 a check to write that. Huh? I mean, are you that dumb? Are you that incompetent and that incapable? Hell, I'll do that job for you for a lot less than they will, and so will any insurance company in the world. They'd love you. Now, just in case you're not making that kind of money, let's say you're only making, say $20 an hour or something like that, you know, kind of medium, blue-collar guy, you know, making $35,000, $40,000 a year, something on that order, you're paying in about $6,000 a year. All right, let's pay in $6,000 a year times 40 years. That's $246,000, right? Six times 40 is $240,000. So you're going to pay in $240,000, and you can get $800 a month. $800. So $800 a month times 10 years. We'll retire at age 65 here. How's that? Times 10 years. No, it's $800 a month times 12 months times 10 years. $96,000. So you pay in $240, you get $96 back. Let's round it off to $100. They're only going to keep $140,000. Isn't that special? God, I thought you'd love that. $100,000 paid in divided by $240. That's 41% again. And are you that incompetent that you have to have somebody charge you $140,000 to write you 120 checks? I mean, that's a pretty stiff penalty, I'd say. Pretty stiff. Well, anyway, that's the way that game is played. So now that you see how that game is played, and what's the cover story? Do you want to be left on the street when you're old and feeble and unable to take care of yourself? You need to pay into Social Security so that you'll have security in your old age. And what are they appealing to? Fear. You have five motivators: vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. They're appealing to your fear. Oh my God, I'll be left without anything. If you took the same amount of money, $6,000 a year, and invested it in United States savings bonds at 5% interest per year, you know, years ago, they were paying 5%. 5% interest compounded every year, you would have $900,000, nearly $1 million. You'd have $1 million. Do you know that if you had $1 million in the bank, times 0.05%, you'd get $50,000 a year back, divided by 12 months is $4,166 a month. You're a blue-collar worker. You take the same amount of Social Security money that you're paying in right now. You stick it into United States savings bonds for 5% interest for 40 years, compounded annually. And at the end of the time, you'll have $1 million in the bank, paying you 5% interest, which is $4,000 a month, which is five times what Social Security is going to pay. And get this, at the end of your life, when you die and we bury you, you'll still have your $1 million in the bank to leave your children. You leave absolutely nothing. The government keeps all of the principal when you die. That's called a Tontine insurance wagering scheme, illegal in every state in the union, except for Social Security. Social Security is the only Tontine insurance program in America. They're illegal everywhere else. Isn't that just real special? And the cover story, remember? Hey, you don't want to end up without Social Security and without your safety net, do you? Hey, it's halfway time. I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download or stream the CD package right there in front of your eyeballs. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, they can be political, sometimes they're religious or economic, they may be sectarian, racial, or ethnic, they may be partisans of some kind, whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. But they should. And if you would like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the cover story. Everybody's got a cover story, whether you're an individual or you're a company. And I had a cover story one time. It's kind of a funny little story. The state of Idaho raised the corporate income tax in Idaho by 5%. Well, I looked at that 5% and I said, well, look at these suckers over here raising my taxes by 5%. So I went out and I raised my prices in my catalog by 5%. Now, at the time, we were selling $1 million a year or more. We just take $1 million here. Take $1 million times 5%, and that's $50,000. So instead of selling $1 million next year, I'm going to sell $1 million and then $50,000. That's $1,050,000. Well, the government raised my taxes by 5%, didn't they? So I raised my prices by 5%. You know, one washes the other. Now, that's what it appears like on the surface. That's my cover story, see? God, it worked like a shot. Only one guy, a guy by the name of Skaggs down in Burley, asked me about it. He said, hey, I see you raised your prices 5%. And I said, yeah, I did. Do you remember that the legislature raised taxes by 5%? I just passed it through. And he said, oh, yeah, I remember that now. Well, yeah, you're certainly justified in raising your prices 5%. And this guy's a businessman. This guy's a Mormon. This guy's a Christian Mormon businessman. Runs a furniture store, Skaggs Furniture in Burley. God love him. Hell of a nice guy. Good customer. Now, let me explain this to you. The company's selling gross $1 million a year. I raised my prices by 5%. It's $1,050,000. Last year, when I made $1 million, I netted 10%. That's $100,000. Off of my 10%, or off of my $100,000, I had to pay my income tax, which was $5,000, 5%. So I netted $5,000, or $95,000. Now remember, this year they raised my taxes by 5%. Now that doesn't mean that they doubled the tax rate from 5 to 10%. It means that they raised the tax 5%. Well, what's 5% of 5%? It's $250. Can you follow that? I make $1 million, and I got a profit, and it's 10%. That's $100,000. I have to pay tax on the net. That's $5,000, 5%, and I send it in. This year, I'm going to have to pay 5% more because they raised my taxes by 5%. So it's 5% of $5,000, which is $250. So this year, I got to pay $5,000, $250. How much did I raise my prices? I raised my prices from $1 million to $1,050,000. So I'm going to net an extra $45,000. You know. The state raised my taxes 5%. I raised my prices 5%. The state raised my taxes by $250, and I raised my prices by $45,000. Isn't that just real special? Yes, yes, it's true. I am a robber baron. That was after I learned how to count. See, I hired this Jewish guy, Milton Kagan. Once he taught me how to count, boy, I ain't been the same since. And that's what I do in my business school. I teach you people how to count. And then I can teach people how to count. Well, I can teach you how to count if your IQ is at around 70, 80, something like that. Now, if you get your IQ, you know, up too high, 160 or 80 or something like that, I'm not sure I can help you. I notice that the higher people's IQs are, the dumber they get. I mean, the higher the IQ, the dumber the student. I don't know why that is, but it is. All right, let's take a look at another cover story over here. You ever look at income tax? Remember, they tell you it's voluntary. Then the tax protesters come along and they say, well, if it's voluntary, we're not going to volunteer, so they don't pay the tax. And then the government comes along, they get mad as hell, and they prosecute these people for not filing and evading and one thing and another, and they convict them and they send them off to jail. So the tax protesters, they have a cover story. The income tax is voluntary. The income tax is voluntary. The income tax is voluntary. Government comes along and they say, the income tax is voluntary. The income tax is voluntary. Everybody's in agreement, the income tax is voluntary. And so the tax protester, he says, well, I ain't going to volunteer no more. And he ends up in jail. He can't figure out why that's going on. I couldn't either for a long time, but I watched him. I was sitting back here on the sidelines just watching Jim McCudd. And I'd watch him go to jail, and I'd watch their cover story. The income tax is voluntary. And I'd watch another one go to jail. And he'd say, the income tax is voluntary. Another one would go to jail. I kept listening to that cover story, and I said, you know, there's something, something don't meet the eyeball here. So I said, gee, I wonder what that is. Well, let me show you what it is. It's right here. There's a case here. It's called Stewart versus Chinese Chamber of Commerce. Hang on a minute. Stewart versus Chinese Chamber of Commerce. Get your pen out here and cite this. 168 Fed 2nd, 709. And it's on page 712. You got that down, Stewart. S-T-U-A-R-T versus Chinese Chamber of Commerce. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, Phoenix, Arizona. 168 F2D. 709, volume 168, Fed 2nd, page 709. Now go to page 712, and we read, the revenue laws are a code or system in regulation of tax assessment and collection. They relate to taxpayers and not to non-taxpayers. No procedure is prescribed for non-taxpayers, and no attempt is made to annul any of their rights and remedies in due course of law. With them, Congress does not assume to deal, and they're neither of the subject nor of the object of the revenue laws. Well, ain't that just real special? There's some critters out there that are non-taxpayers. I wasn't one of them. Now, I never thought that I was a non-taxpayer. I always believed that I was a taxpayer, and I paid my taxes, paid them all the time. But I was wondering what a non-taxpayer looked like. And so I was looking around real hard, and I was trying to find a non-taxpayer. I looked them up in the dictionary and said, what's a non-taxpayer? I couldn't find it. I started asking around. I said, I'm looking for a non-taxpayer. Can you tell me where I can find one? I'd like to measure him up and see what he looks like. Nobody could tell me what they looked like. I looked here and I said, my God, if you can't believe your Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, who can you believe? So I got to looking a little bit harder and looking a little bit harder, and then I found it. It's in Title 42, Section 301 through 335. It's the Social Security Act of 1935. I said, oh my God, look where the cover story is. The cover story is in Title 42, Section 301 through 335, and the tax laws are in Title 26. Can you believe this? They put the tax laws in Title 26 and the contract in Title 42. That's why nobody could find it. And I wouldn't have found it either. Some guy showed it to me, and I said, oh, my God, look at that. Government's tricky, and they've got cover stories, and their cover stories come out, and they tell you, you know, the income tax is voluntary, and you volunteered when you signed up for Social Security. That was the contract. And you said, because you gave me the Social Security, I need to pay for it. And there's two taxes that I need to use to pay for it. I'll show you that. I got it right here, right around the tip of my tongue. Let me just flip over here. Is it 7243? And the term person is used in this chapter. It includes an officer or an employee of a corporation or a member or employee of a partnership who, as such officer, employee, or member, is under a duty to perform the act in respect of which the violation occurs. Hey, are you an officer or an employee of a corporation or a member or an employee of a partnership? You know, most people would say, no, not me. Excuse me. Didn't you go to work for General Motors and sign a W-2 form, W-4 form, an employment contract, Social Security account, union membership? Well, yeah. Now, go look up that word corporation. That's a tricky word. You look it up in Bovia, and he says, well, people that act in a corporate capacity are treated as corporations. Yep. Like it or lump it. That's the way that works. You got that Social Security number, you became a corporation. Now, any person required under this title, this is 7203, Title 26, 7203, any person required under this title to pay any estimated tax or tax. Well, that's a funny way to say taxes, isn't it? When these guys write these statutes, these are not dumbbells. These are people that are real smart, smarter than you and me. That's why these guys are senators and representatives and administrative assistants to the president. And that's why you and me are out here, you know, stretching sewer pipe. You and me are stretching sewer pipe, and these guys are over here writing laws and telling us, you know, that the income tax is voluntary. Listen to this, or required by this title or by regulations made under authority thereof to make a return, keep any records, or supply any information, who willfully fails to pay such estimated tax or tax, make such return, keep such records, or supply such information at the time or times required by law or regulations. Hoo-hoo! There's that tax or tax. Again, that's taxes, plural. Two taxes. Social Security and income tax, boys and girls, go together like a hand and a glove. Like O.J. Simpson and a glove that don't fit. All right. Now let's start putting this together. 7203 coupled with 7243, coupled with Title 42, Section 301 through 335. Coupled with this decision by not the Supreme Court, but the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, tells us who the taxpayers are. See, the taxpayers are the guys that are contracting into it. So right away I said, well, oh my God, maybe I ought to contract out of it. Maybe I ought to get the hell out of here. So I rescinded my Social Security. I stopped working, stopped making income, started dealing in property, and became a non-taxpayer. Now let's look at this non-taxpayer critter again. The revenue laws are a code or system in regulation of tax assessment and collection, and they relate to taxpayers and not to non-taxpayers. Hey, boys and girls, to become a taxpayer, you've got to get out of bed in the morning. You got to go do something. You can't just be a taxpayer without doing something. You got to go sign up. So you go down and you sign up for Social Security. The cover story on Social Security is that it's a retirement program. Well, what if they told you the truth and said, this is the contract that you signed so that you can pay income tax and Social Security tax. We want to take 1/3 of everything you create and produce, son, and we can't do that without your consent. So sign here and give us that consent. It's like joining the Army. You got to have an enlistment contract. If you think you can join the Army without an enlistment contract, go try it. Go down to your Army recruiter and tell him, I want to join the Army, but I don't want to sign any contracts. I just want to go kill guys, ragheads. And let me know how that comes out. Would you send me an email and tell me, oh, yeah, they said, just go on over there. You don't need to sign up. We don't need all that information. It's just red tape. You see, if you want to be subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, you have to waive your rights to your Constitution. You have to sign up for that. You cannot be a slave without your signature. More appropriately, you can't be a bondservant without your signature. So that's where you're at with these taxpayers. So I looked at that and I said, no, I don't think I want to be a taxpayer anymore. So I dropped out. Now there's a side effect that comes from that. Social Security has 108 benefits. 108. Count them. I'll bet you don't even know what they are, but I can tell you about four or five of them. You get workman's compensation, old age and survivor's benefits, unemployment insurance. That's the three biggies. But there's some little neat benefits that go in there, too. You know, if you die before you're 65, you get college for your kids, and your wife gets survivor's benefits. And if you get on the sauce and you get to where you can't get off the sauce, they'll send you to a sanitarium and dry you out. And there's all kinds of little things in there that you're entitled to. Send to the Social Security Administration and tell them that you want your benefits package. You want to know what it is that I'm going to get for my money. They'll send you one, a little booklet, and they'll tell you about your 108 benefits. Oh, my God, there's all kinds of neat stuff in there that you never heard of. But then they're not going to tell you about that because you might go down and collect it. You have to know what you're entitled to, and then you have to go down and apply for it and tell them with specificity, here's what I want and I'm entitled to it, give it to me. Because if you don't know what you're entitled to, you can't get it, and they're not going to offer it to you. See, I didn't go down and sign up for my Social Security benefits. Nobody ever sent me a letter and said, gee, Mr. Gordon, we've been taking your money all these years, and now you're 65 years old. Why don't you come down and sign up? They never sent me a letter. Of course, I knew, that if I wanted this, I'd have to go down and sign up, because I read that in a court case one time. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in this. It was in Halvering, wasn't it? No, Fleming versus Nestor. That's what it was. Fleming versus Nestor. And they said, hell, if you want these benefits, you've got to go sign up for them, son. You've got to go demand them. That's why none of you people can get your 108 benefits, because you only know of unemployment, retirement on Social Security, retirement disability. Now, of course, if you're disabled, you can get that retirement disability. And maybe one or two more, but you don't know about all the little side benefits that you're entitled to. You see, here in the Ozark, these people here have this down to a science. You see, the highest status that you can achieve here in Dogpatch is total disability on Social Security. I mean, when you tell somebody that you're on total disability, they fall down on their knees and worship you. It is. It's the highest status that we can have. Hillbillies live to draw total disability. And then the younger you are when you get on total disability, I mean, if you're 35 years old on total disability, I mean, it's almost like being an apostle. If you're under 30 and totally disabled on Social Security, I mean, that's almost like being Jesus walking on water. Now, being 60 and on total disability ain't shabby. 50 is even better yet. 40, boy, you're something to be looked up to. And that's what we live for here. Thank God for all you people paying in. That's what supports us here. We'd starve to death without you. Either that or we'd have to actually go out and go to work, which, and anybody here wants to do that. So Social Security is the next best thing. To show you how valuable Social Security is in Ozark County, Missouri, 65% of the people in this county are on Social Security. 25% are unemployed. That means there's only 10% of the people in this county that are productively employed. Most of them work down at the courthouse, or they're out clipping grass alongside the highway working for the county. I just thought I'd let you people know that. Thank you. Thank you very much. We need more people like you. All right. Now, do you see where this cover story is? Cover story is it's the law. Everybody has to do it. No, it isn't. You don't have to be a taxpayer. You are a taxpayer because you're a citizen. You are a taxpayer because you signed up for it. You are a taxpayer because you have a Social Security account. God love you. You want all the benefits that go with that. And probably unemployment insurance and workman's compensation. And that has to be paid for. Government can't give you this stuff, you know, without paying for it. And so now the government taxes you 17% to 43%. And they tax you 16.1%. That's a third. Oh, they tax you more than that. Those 14 taxes, but those are the two biggies. And then everybody participates in the program because that's what you've been taught through the cover story from day one. You learned that when you went to first grade, for crying out loud. You knew that was the law. You knew you had to do that. But you never asked the question, what makes a taxpayer? See, nobody ever asks. And by God, government ain't going to tell you. Now you can find out. I mean, you know, it isn't like it's a top secret. You know, it isn't like it's like a secret, you know, like the Federal Reserve. You can't know how much money Bank of America or J.P. Morgan got because that's a state secret. We know that they got $15 trillion, but you'll never know how much each one of them got. That's top secret. But, hey, listen, these statutes and laws in our code here, they're not top secret, but there's nobody going to tell them to you unless you ask. And you got to know what to ask for or they're not going to tell you that either. Hey, I'm out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, non-commercial, and is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.